Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
What a 1.5 UMFM. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Gamer Runs. My name is Neil Noonan. Alongside
whoa,
me.
Whoa, whoa, cut. No, no.
But we're live.
No, cut. Cut, stop.
What's the deal, man?
You know, there wasn't enough energy. I need you to redo the intro.
I was just going to say the intro was kind of, it was old.
I need you to just say it with your chest.
Okay, let's do this. Yeah, let's do this. Right. Go again. Go, turn it up.
Turn it up.
Yeah. Oh, get it loud. Oh, man. Not again.
This is
woo! 101.5 UMFM. This is Gamer Runs. Neil Noonan in studio live.
Cut.
With my main man.
Cut.
Are you serious?
Cut. This time, okay.
Are you serious?
Just listen to me. This time, say it like you're a pirate.
Arr.
Just try it out.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Get loud. I gotta not hear myself. Oh, gotta get my my Johnny Depp man. Going. Arr, me ladies, it's Gamer Runs here on 101.5 UMFM. Arrgh! I don't know what else the pirate says besides arrgh.
Are you ready
for some basketball talk? We're 2 minutes in and this is already a gong show, but it's nice to be live in studio, see the air outside of our homes. And this,
see the air.
Or whatever. It's
see the air.
It's just nice seeing your face instead of looking at our screens.
True.
With this awful Skype quality that we've been slumming with.
We've bestowed
past,
upon
like,
our listeners.
A couple months. Now everyone's getting that HD stream from the U of M studio here on
shout
campus.
Out that hot 320, those radio frequencies. Radio frequencies definitely aren't 320, but doesn't matter. It's better quality. It's nice.
Yeah, it's and what a great week to be live in studio. So I can actually see your face, and we could probably have our best episode in months.
Which is, yeah, not a high bar.
Well, I mean, like, the start was already
yeah
pretty fly, in my opinion. But, man, we got, okay.
There's a lot going on. A whole lot.
I'm going to set you the scene for you here, and I kind of told you a little bit about this while it was happening. But I'm at Festival de Voyageur.
Okay.
First night this season, I like to go every year at least once. I usually get a weekend pass or assuming I'm going to go more than once. And I'm out there Sunday night, went with my girlfriend, took the liberty to record the All-Star game. This
nice.
Is a good boyfriend move, right?
Yeah.
Go out with her and her friends, and I'll watch the All-Star game.
Festival
later.
Du PVR.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, so great night in the crowd, and usually when I'm out, I like to keep my Apple Watch on silent, you know, like no buzz or anything, but it's a different time of year for NBA fans. You know, you got the Woj tweets on
trade
alert.
Trade season!
Yeah, it's trade season, baby. We got the Woj tweets on alert. So I have my watch going, and this was probably around maybe, 9:30 Central Time here in Winnipeg.
Give
and
or take.
I started really looking at my watch over and over and over again, and my lovely girlfriend wasn't having it, but I was trying to tell her, I'm like, one of the greatest basketball players on this planet is actually going to be on a different team in a couple of hours. And I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I really didn't think it was going to be New Orleans to swing a boogie deal. But here we are. We got arguably the two greatest big men to play this basketball game right now. Going to be sporting the same uniform. Was it come tomorrow night? I think.
Can I get a boogie yell?
Oh man, boogie!
There you go. There we have it.
Oh jeez.
So Sacramento Kings, they traded DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie, one of the most dominant centers in the league. One of those most dominant offensive players in the league, period. For what?
Well, the big hole is the Buddy Hield pick, himself, yeah. Right?
AKA Steph Curry potential.
Oh, man, that's a whole story in itself. But Buddy Hield, yeah, Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, and then a protected, which is unbelievable in its own right, a protected first-round pick, a top three protected.
And then a second-round pick on top of that?
Right. Really just a grab bag of things where people were talking about two first-round picks for Brooke Lopez last week. And then...
I mean, the Nets were talking about that, but yeah.
That's true, yeah. And the fact that they got this haul back for the best player on the trade market, bar none, is really kind of unbelievable. What's kind of... I'm sure you're in the same boat as me, where we've kind of devoured every podcast, every write-up about this trade in the past couple of days.
Yeah.
I think every NBA podcast has had a specific boogie pod now. What sticks out to your mind? What are you still thinking about this trade?
February 6th, 2017... Vlade Divac, close to verbatim, "We're not trading DeMarcus. We hope he's here for a long time." February, three, 4 days ago. I don't know what day it is. DeMarcus Cousins is traded for, as you said, a grab bag of you could call them assets, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's just, Boogie said it in his first presser as a New Orleans Pelican today. Today being Wednesday, the 22nd, it's the thing that, you know, haunts him the most is the dishonesty of the trade. And, you know, this is obviously a very complex situation. Boogie's obviously at fault for a lot of the quote-unquote culture there. And Vivek Ranadive, in the Kings release this morning, basically brought up culture and character and what's right for the organization.
Ha!
And, how are you going to treat your big man like that? And just put him through a roller coaster and then send him away. Like, it's just the whole ridiculousness of it. Not so much from Boogie's side, because I understand he's a tempered player. He's a bully, but he's also one of the most dominant offensive big men, and you got to find a way to work with him. And Dave Yeager. Coach Yeager was...
Coach J.
Was definitely, yeah. Yeah, Dave.
Coach Yeager bombs. Coach Dave, I like that.
We know
better.
Him by Dave. Yeah. Coach Dave was actually doing very well with that in that aspect, right? Like, it was another coach that Boogie liked. Two out of the eight coaches that actually blended well during this run with Boogie as a king. And now that's gone. So, just the whole ridiculousness of the front office, and it all adds up to this, and now it's a full reset button for the Kings. That's what stands out to me. What stands out to you?
Quick sidebar, shout out to my Instagram fam live on Instagram. If you have any questions about the trade deadline or Boogie Cousins, you let us know. Marco Canny, quickly, is Jorge Garbajosa gonna get traded? Just tell Mark to shut up.
No, just kidding.
Shout out to Ryan Corkle. I'm glad you brought up Vivek, because I wanted to kind of start off the show asking you, it's a pretty open general question. I'm going to give you maybe 30 seconds just so we don't bore our listeners. Name as many owners as you can.
Vivek Ranadive. Steve Ballmer.
Nice.
Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment.
Okay.
Jerry Reinsdorf.
Bulls fan.
Yeah. The Eden family. Mallory. And such. Who else? The Bus family. The owner of the Saints, who owns the Pelicans. I don't recall his name right now. Benson, I believe. I'm not sure. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
The guy from Microsoft who owns the Blazers.
Yep, Ballmer. Paul Allen.
Paul Allen, thank you.
You're doing pretty well. Impressive.
Ownership is a whole podcast in its own. Who else? Joe Lacob, of course. Where is this all leading to?
Yeah, so you didn't prove my point, actually. I thought you were for sure going to say Vivek and James Dolan.
Oh, James Dolan. How did I forget that one?
Because the point James,
sorry, to go back to Mark, James Dolan is the kind of guy that would trade for Jorge Garbajosa.
Who, like, viciously broke his leg, like, 10 years ago. Yeah, we haven't heard from him since. Yeah.
Sorry, but continue.
The point I was trying to make is that the only reason that owners get into the news, for the most part...
Controversy.
Is because of some sort of controversy, like what's going on with the Knicks, or just general incompetence, which is going on with the Kings.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we can go down, like, all the contenders and the teams that have been there for the past decade and just understand that it's such a top-down culture, like most things are, and the success really has to be from the owner down. And when that's not happening, you see these things like the Kings trade.
Yeah, right? if you asked someone that question who didn't follow basketball, if you asked that to somebody who didn't host a weekly basketball show, I'd actually think your point would be taken.
You're too smart for your own good, man. Yeah.
I mean, in terms of a question about basketball, but like you said, general incompetence or controversy are two main points that owners. Some of the best owners are in the background, right? Ballmer is most well known for his sideline antics, right? He actually, you know, is relatively under the radar as far as controversy and ownership goes. Joe Lacob, he makes headlines because he's cocky.
Oh, the light years thing was probably the...
And that was controversial. That adds to the controversy. But can I run some Vivek Ranadive transactions and moves during this...
Well, if you got him ready to go, man... Let's do it.
Drafted Jimmer Fredette.
Huge move.
Held on to Jimmer Fredette for a couple years.
Man, he loves white boy shooters.
Oh, who doesn't?
Loves them.
Drafting Stauskas, speaking of white boy
Stauskas.
Shooters.
Yeah, so, Stauskas.
Who?
Stauskas.
Thank you. Ironically, trading him at the right time, but for a bad package in return to the Sixers.
And they traded him and a first-round pick.
Yes, which is a whole other story. Drafting Thomas Robinson... Who wasn't...
Fifth overall.
Yeah, fifth overall over some studs. Drafting Ben McLemore after he fell six spots from his projected position. After numerous reports that Ben McLemore is probably... You should probably stay away from him. Because he doesn't have the potential of others. Drafting other numerous shooting guards, which conveniently they don't have very good shooting guard depth. Drafting Isaiah Thomas for nothing. And then... Dealing away Isaiah Thomas for not much in return. Trading Marquise Chris for the 13th pick, which became Georgios Papianis. Scalabissie and the rights to Bogdan Bogdanovic. And, oh, I'm still going here. Releasing Coach Malone in the place of a post-cancer Carl. Releasing to pull the trigger on firing George Carl. Bringing Chris Mullin and Pete D'Alessandro in the front office. And shout-outs to King's subreddit for actually giving me all these facts. Reddit user Yopi told me both deserve the snake badge in 2K.
Word.
D'Alessandro and Mullin.
Word.
Because we got tons of leaks during that time. That was a tumultuous season for the Kings. Giving an unnecessary player option to Rudy Gay. Publicly coming out in the media and speaking about Cousins, Carl, coaches, and... other stuff that should be in-house, trying to make his tech dreams come true. This is more opinionated on their side, but Ranadive is a tech enthusiast, and he wants to incorporate that tech into basketball. And waiting so long to trade Cousins, and then trading him for not an ideal package in return, and what is said by Yopi, Reddit user, the worst thing he has done is allow his daughter to do halftime shows.
That's mean.
Yeah. there's some more draft misses. Thomas Robinson over Damian Lillard. Jimmer Fredette over Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, and Kemba Walker. Nick Stauskas, period. Isaiah Thomas, a little more particular on that trade. The rights to Alex Okari, which is a name I haven't heard, I think, possibly ever.
Right.
Plus a trade exception. So, a first-round protected pick for 3 months of J.J. Hickson. Should I keep going, or do you get the point?
Willie Cauley-Stein,
who hasn't gotten minutes.
When they had a bunch of centers. And you mentioned that first trade with Stauskas. The reason they made that trade was to make room to sign another center, Kosta Kufos.
Yeah.
Bring in Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
And then Marco Bellinelli, who they actually traded for another first-round pick, which is I mean, probably one of their best moves in the past.
To be fair,
10 years.
Yeah. To be fair, I brought the low lights out.
Oh, what, there's not many highlights, to be honest. True. I think I just mentioned the one, and that list is just so glaring, and it really is like. First, they've had a bunch of different people trying to make decisions, right? And then yeah. Vivek, he is the majority owner, and the last word is always going to be his. And he flops his mind around just as much as Vlade. And yeah. The fact that they went out, I think it was Friday, and Divox came out and said, like, we're not trading Boogie. And then everything kind of switched throughout the weekend and back and forth and back and forth. And you mentioned that Boogie was, like, the one thing that really bothered him was just the lying the entire time and just
yeah.
them not being truthful. And hell yeah, of course that would be the thing. Like, he's going to be playing probably on a better team.
Yeah,
you know,
that, I agree.
He's probably excited just to go to New Orleans. As much as he really loved the city of Sacramento, like, the outpouring of, like, the community and his love for them right back was actually kind of touching. But
yeah, that's a second home for Boogie. That's one of the bigger factors that, you know, he may have had a temper. He may have been a loose cannon at times. But he was also the most dominant big man in the league, and he truly, deeply, honestly cared about the community. And he doesn't do charitable acts. He doesn't do his philanthropy for PR, which a lot of his philanthropy does fly under the radar.
A lot of people didn't know about it in general, right? And I mean, I think the NBA is pretty good at that, as with across the board with a lot of players. But coming from Boogie, who is the big bad guy in the league, right, getting all the technical fouls in the world, just sounds like a lot of his players really enjoyed him.
Yeah.
For him to do that kind of stuff, Sacramento is definitely going to miss him. But going back to the front office of the Kings, they should be embarrassed. I can't imagine how anybody would want to go play for them, you know? And as much as they've kind of, or they want to strip down the roster now and just start over with Buddy Hield, Willie Cauley-Stein, find some draft picks.
Whoa, you forgot about the longest tenured King on the roster.
Anthony Tolliver?
Ben McLemore.
Oh, are you serious?
He's the longest
that's
tenured
crazy.
King on the roster.
Wow, dropping knowledge. That's ridiculous.
Drafted in 2013.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
Time flies.
Time does fly.
Time flies.
A quick, thank you to Reddit users Yopi, Pager Prodigy 21, Hacksaw Ben Thuggin, Royal Kangs, and Jedi Master Jeff for all that help.
Incredible names.
Yeah, Hacksaw Ben Thuggin is a nice wrestling reference. Shouts to Loose Ropes. Anyways, one thing I wanted to bring up to you is that Vlade Divac said in the media, "I had a better deal 2 days ago." Isn't that, like, just a bad thing to say in the media in general?
That's what those Celtics say after the deadline. Be like, oh, yeah, we had tons of stuff lined up, you know, just really never pulled the trigger. Like,
we're allegedly.
You're not saving face. You're making it worse.
Yeah, and allegedly, if you want to believe the rumors and innuendo, the reports are that the Celtics would not be willing to include Terry Rozier as part of your deal. Listen, man, if there's a chance that you could get Boogie or Butler or Paul George or whoever, you got to let Terry Rozier go. I like Terry Rozier. I think he played great against the Warriors. I've only seen him play, like, as many times as I've seen the Celtics play, but which is under 10 times. But if that's the player you're holding on to, like, you have so many assets, you got to let it fly. And that may be one of the, we're going to get to the Lakers ownership a little later, but that may be one reason why there was a shakeup on that aspect, because, you know, certain teams lost out on the Boogie sweepstakes, and if the prices weren't that high, like, you should maybe add a little more. You're still, instead of getting 50 cents on the dollar, you could offer 75 cents on the dollar, right? The Celtics are in such a good position that they could have offered more.
Yeah, no doubt. It's
Some aftermath of this. The King subreddit actually rebranded to the Lion King subreddit.
Nice.
For 24 hours, because they just refused to talk about the Kings trade, about the Boogie trade. So it started off with, if this post gets 1,000 upvotes, this sub will be dedicated to all things Lion King. And then there was a game thread about the Lion King rewatch. Don't let Boogie getting traded to the Pelicans distract you from the fact that Scar blew a 1,000 hyena lead to a pride of lions. And somebody posted Hakuna Matata. You added a Lion King flair so you could have that beside your
that's
name.
That's where the Kings fans are at now.
Yeah, there's probably
some Donald Glover discussion in there, too.
They've just moved to Lion King.
Oh, man. That's how bad it is. It's...
No, I mean...
But can you even feel bad? Not for the fans. I mean, like, you gotta feel bad for the fans. But, like, the Kings in general, they've made themselves... They've made their bed, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right? And they're not going to be good for the foreseeable future. Like, these picks that they got aren't going to be anything special.
No.
Windhorse and Lowe talked about this, but, like, when you trade one of your star players mid-season and you get a returning draft pick... That draft pick's just going to get worse and worse because you gave that team one of your best, if not your best player.
Yeah.
That Pelicans pick's going to get worse as it goes along, right? So tons of things to talk about, and there's millions of trades that probably could have happened, and I think it's really telling the fact that they got what they did because there's so many teams that could have put together a better package that didn't.
Yeah, and there's... possible various reasons why, right? Like maybe they don't want to touch Boogie because of his temperament, or maybe who knows, right? Now on the floor, you said it, the Kings are going to be pretty bad for the foreseeable future. Vivek Ranadivi, we mentioned earlier,
maybe now they should play 4 and 5.
Yeah, maybe they
give
should
it a try.
Yeah, buy into Vivek's
let Buddy Hield cherry pick the entire time, averages 30 points per game.
That's how he becomes the next Steph Curry.
Right?
Yeah, so Vivek has...
maybe they're onto something there.
Vivek was the only, reportedly, the only owner present at the pro day for Buddy Hield's draft class. So he was... He's
such
honestly,
a fan.
Yeah, he honestly believes he has Steph Curry potential, which I truly, honestly hope that Buddy Hield does grow into be a incredibly talented player, right?
Sure.
I want him to be an absolute wonderful player.
All the best for Buddy.
Yes. But on the floor, it's going to be a shit show for a while. On the floor.
It already has been. It's going to get even... Actually, I mean, people are saying they might play even better now.
Yeah, who knows? It might be Ewing theory. Who knows?
Right? Right?
Yeah. But moving to the other side, if you're the Pelicans, you had to pull this deal. You had to for that price?
100%, yeah. And both guys, both teams actually have just kind of been... treading water, trying to surround their all-world bigs with talent.
Yeah.
Right? Both Davis, both Cousins, like, the narrative's kind of been the same for either of them. Just like, oh, yeah, when these guys get a team around them,
they're going to be
watch out, right? And we saw that kind of blip on the radar when the Pelicans were all healthy and they got to that 8 spot. And, yeah, they got swept, but they still kind of put up a really good fight. And... now, matching them together, which is something I don't know about you, I never would have thought of in a million years.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know who brought it up. I think it was a Windhorse. Zigging when everyone else is zagging, right?
Sure, go big, right?
Yeah, we brought it up when the Spurs started playing big again, right? So Boogie and AD are the only players to average 20 points and 10 rebounds for the last 4 seasons. And you had a chance to play as them in 2K and really get a feel for it.
I had to do it.
So how much high-low were you running? What offense were you doing? Was your pick-and-pop going? Was your pick-and-roll going? What do you think the Pelicans are going to do?
Yeah, super interesting. I had to fire up the old 2K machine and actually just play this out and see what it's like. First off, the biggest thing was playing through Boogie was very evident. And I didn't really change much to the first couple of games. I just played as... they are.
Yeah.
And it was very much playing through Boogie and AD kind of cleaning up the garbage, right? Little bit of high-low. I think Cousins is going to basically demand the paint to be his, you know? And they can both pick and pop. They can both kind of shoot. But I really do think that Cousins becomes the focal point, and Anthony Davis is going to be smart enough to kind of play around him, so to speak. A lot of people are kind of bringing up Alvin Gentry and how he's... part of the growing of the 7 seconds or less offense, being there with the Suns back in the day and stuff. I think he's also smart enough to kind of make it work. You know,
I don't think
they're gonna kind of start like destroying teams, but I really do think that this is gonna work. It's a huge talent play on their end. And I mentioned to you when I was playing with them, because the natural subbing patterns when I was playing in 2K was that they were both out of the game at various times for 3 to 4 minutes at a time. There's no way Gentry should fall into that hole. One of those guys should be on the court at all times.
Fully agree. Absolutely.
And people have talked about the KD and Durant thing, and that was a big reason why Coach got fired. Now he's in Washington. But Scotty Brooks, like, he's kind of come out and said that, like, he knew what was going on. He's just, there was reasons why he had them out at certain times. Whatever it is. Same kind of thing. They got to have one of those guys on the floor at all times. There's no reason not to, you know? I still think they're going to do great. It's going to be really interesting to see that fight for the eighth spot, because Denver is not bowing down at all.
No, they're not. We ended up speaking a whole 25 minutes on that, so we got to get moving. For the Lakers, Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss are out. Magic Johnson, Irvin.
Yeah.
And Rob Pelinka. If you don't know who Rob Pelinka is, just know him as Kobe Bryant's former agent. Or possibly
all you need to say, right?
Currently, yeah. Current agent.
That's all you
stuff.
Need to say.
So not only is the former agent of Kobe Bryant the GM, he's also currently actually the agent for James Harden, Eric Gordon, and Avery Bradley, and about 15 to 20 more NBA athletes. So when a player agent accepts a front office position, similar to Arne Tellem of the Pistons, I believe, or Bob Myers of the Warriors, you have to leave that agency. So there's going to be a little bit of a period getting.
What a time too, during like the trade deadline.
Yeah, during the trade deadline, he's changing his whole new career trajectory. And Magic Johnson, being the president of basketball operations now, quick trigger. Trading away Lou Williams for Corey Brewer and a first-round pick from the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Fully embracing tank mode, because anyone that trades for Corey Brewer in 2017 is on the tank,
yeah,
for sure.
You got to get that pick, right?
Yeah.
You got to get that pick.
So, from Houston's aspect, they get another shooter, a bench scorer in Lou Williams. Good move.
Great move. I think it was a great move from both sides.
Yeah, and as you said, great move on both sides, because Lou Williams, extra bench scoring. That team is offensively driven. And for the Lakers, get that pick, embrace the tank. Worst team overall. Someone did some numbers digging on Reddit. Lou Williams is actually second in offensive real plus minus, second in real plus minus, and fifth in real plus minus wins for shooting guards. First being James Harden for all of that, because he is the quintessential. He's still considered a shooting guard, even though he's a point guard. Anyways, regardless, or irregardless, as I started using that fake word now. I love words, man. Good trade overall, right? And it's going to be interesting to see how Magic Johnson fares. There's been a rumor that came out that he's pushing for Paul George. And there's been a report that by Adrian Wojnarowski that the Pacers have been, quote-unquote, assessing the market on Paul George.
Assessing
the market.
Love it.
Sounds so analytical.
That means answering the phones.
Yeah, pretty much. Just, feeling things out. And, I started getting on some conspiracy level stuff. There's been some inconspicuous levels of emoji usage. And, Isaiah Thomas tweeted out an hourglass. And, an hourglass is eerily similar to the new PG1. On the PG1, if you switch Paul George's logo to the side, it looks a lot like an hourglass emoji. It looks a lot like an hourglass emoji. That's all I'm saying. And then, you told me this, he sent a winking face to someone.
Apparently a Drummond or something. I'm not even sure.
So, like, trade rumors are damn crazy right now. I went on the trade machine, and I started putting some stuff together. And I'm curious. Would you rather have Paul George or Jimmy Butler?
If I'm the Celtics or if I'm a team in general?
If you're in the Celtics.
Great question. And it's definitely something I wrote down to ask you as well, because I think it's really worth talking about. And it sounds like they're going to have a very similar package to throw to either of them. And it's definitely going to begin and end with that Brooklyn pick this year.
Yeah.
I think both teams, it's like it that's got to be in the deal. And then whoever else, I know Celtics really love Jaylen Brown, which is fair, but they do have kind of a logjam at that 2-3 spot, right? Like, they got Crowder, they got Bradley, they got Smart, and then Jaylen Brown. You got those four guys.
Yeah.
Whether it's two of them, whether it's somebody else for filler kind of thing, I think it's a couple of those guys in that pick.
Yeah.
Now, going forward, I love the angle that a lot of smart people talk about when making these trades or talking about them. Is the goal is to beat Cleveland? Duh. It yeah. sounds so easy, but what? Which one of those guys is going to help you beat Cleveland? I really think it's Paul George.
Okay.
You know, I think Paul George is a much better defender than Jimmy Butler, especially on LeBron in particular. I think just the length and the speed, just being able to keep up with him. He could play him at the four kind of thing. And Jimmy Butler, still great defender. They're actually very similar players in that respect, where they're
utility threes.
Exactly. They're right up there in the best both end of the floor wings. But I really think Butler would be the prize. I really think George would be the prize, but I feel like Butler's more available. You know?
So yeah, no, I agree with that.
It's tough if I'm the Celtics.
How about this?
It's George first, Butler second.
If you're the Pacers, let's do some role play. You're the Pacers front office.
Sure.
And I'm calling you.
Bird.
Ring, ring. Answer the phone. Ring, ring.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
What?
Okay. I got this deal for you. Amir Johnson, Jay Crowder, Terry Rozier, and the Nets pick for Paul George.
This year's pick
for Paul George. Amir Johnson, Jay Crowder, Terry Rozier, and the Nets pick.
I like Rozier. That's interesting.
Okay.
I still kind of want Avery Bradley.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, and side note. Outside of this talk, I'm kind of glad you didn't ask for Jaylen Brown. I'm very happy you didn't ask for Jaylen Brown yet. So I'm thinking, how about I take out Terry Rozier, add in Avery Bradley, and you send me back...
You have Monte.
No.
No? You want Stocky instead?
Possibly.
There's not a lot of assets going on.
Do you still have CJ Miles? Is CJ Miles still around?
I think so. I don't know what other TVs are.
Paul George and CJ Miles for Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Amir Johnson, and the Nets pick.
We're definitely talking.
Okay. We're talking. Let's say the Lakers call you.
Okay.
Ring, ring.
Yeah.
Sup.
Hello.
Brandon Ingram.
Oh, now I'm Magic.
Yeah. So I have two. How about this? Luol Deng, Julius Randle, and if we keep our top three pick, we'll give you the top three pick.
Okay. Yeah, that's big, eh?
Julius Randle, top three pick,
yeah.
and Luol Deng.
Yeah, I'm taking it from the Lakers 100%. If I get a top three pick and...
But you're not going to take the Nets pick?
Two young studs. In this kind of draft, if I'm getting Ingram and Randle back, plus I get to pick...
How about this?
In this draft?
So
that's incredible value.
Would the true gift pack be Ingram, Clarkson, Randle for Paul George? Would you do it without a pick? Ingram, Clarkson, Randle. Because that works.
Super interesting, yeah. Because, I mean, like, you generally want to be able to pick your own player, especially in this kind of draft where a lot of people are talking about franchise guys, like, all over the top seven or so. I think that pick is super enticing. That's why I think this Paul George thing could definitely be done at the draft. Why not?
Yeah. And you would know if the Lakers have the pick at that time.
And that's what a lot of people were talking about with the DeMarcus thing. I know Brian Windhorst was pretty upset about this on the Zach Lowe pod, where he's saying this deal doesn't do anything but get better if you keep it until June, right? You know where that pick's going to land. The value's still going to be there for Buddy Hield, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it can even squeeze out a little more. So I think it's the same kind of thing where a Paul George trade at the draft when you know if the Lakers got that pick or if you know if the Celtics actually have that number one pick, so much more valuable, right?
Yeah, once the pick is actualized, it becomes way more valuable, and then
100%,
and then it's a new car syndrome after you pick a player. As soon as you drive it off the lot, as soon as you draft the player, it's not as valuable as when the pick was actualized. But if you have that number of where the pick stands, that is very, very, very valuable. So
yeah, I think the very foundation of this entire conversation is the Celtics should not be picking this pick.
Yeah,
this is their chance to swing for the fences and get one of these two guys, which
should
I'm glad they're doing this. Yeah, because what's their timeline? Who are their best players? Name their top five best players. They're all 25.
From my perspective, the Celtics are just kind of enjoying the ride until the new generation rolls in.
But who's on their roster besides Jaylen Brown that's in this new generation? Like they have a roster ready to win now.
Well, I mean, Bradley's only 25. Crowder's only 26, 27. You'll probably let go of him and Isaiah Thomas and Horford when it's gone. Like, those are their three current guys, right?
Right.
And you could keep Bradley, you could keep Smart, you could keep Rozier, you could keep Brown, and then let's say you draft Fultz. Then you have a starting core of a new wave, right?
Okay, well, I think that's a completely different line of thinking than what I imagine they're talking about internally. Like, they're second in the East.
For sure.
You know, they have all the assets in the world ready to swing for one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland looks like they're just lingering kind of thing with LeBron playing the best moves. I mean, this has been talked to death, right, on every single basketball show on earth. But now's the time. And say you do get Markelle Fultz or whatever, like, he's not going to be his ultimate potential for at least 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But as you said, it's an ongoing debate. And someone tweeted it today, but it adds to LeBron's legacy that teams aren't willing to trade for a top 15 player in the league because they're unsure if that could even dethrone King James.
No doubt. Best player of all time.
Yeah, and that adds to LeBron's legacy.
Did you watch that video I sent you yesterday?
I bookmarked it. I haven't watched it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, top 100 dunks?
Maximilian771, one of the greatest NBA YouTubers, I think, online. And he just posted LeBron James' greatest 100 or best 100 dunks he's ever made. It's some of the greatest 10 minutes I've ever had in my life, just staring at my computer screen.
So athletic.
Like, in awe. And, when I'm watching that, I mean, it's easy, just recency bias, but, like, greatest player of all time. But you're right.
It's the ongoing debate of should you try and dethrone LeBron, or should you wait it out? And I think my perspective was ride this wave as the second-best team in the East and let the new generation take over. But also, at the same time, your perspective is very true, and it's similar to what the Raptors did. If you're in the playoffs and you're the second, third, fourth seed, add that extra player and dethrone them.
The window's cracked open, man.
Go now.
The window is cracked open. And the Raptors have a much easier discussion about this, right? Because they're not sitting on a pile of assets.
They have some, but yeah, right? Not a lot.
No, and,
not a lot.
And they kind of put in what they had, a little bit at least, to get Serge Ibaka. And it's actually crazy thinking about it now, how Valanciunas was tossed around for Drummond and Boogie and stuff like that. But whatever, that's just old rumors now. But the Celtics do have a little bit of a two-path discussion going on, where yes, they can do exactly what you're saying, and then they can mortgage for the future, make the pick in 2019, and then absolutely they're going to have a one hell of a roster growing up. Or all the chips in the middle, they make that trade if they can for Butler or for George, and really challenge the Cavs.
Yeah, no, you know? Good point. Yeah.
Like, a lot of really smart people talking about the window of opportunity in the NBA. And yes, King James is like the ultimate big boss, but you have to try and fit through that window if you have any remote chance. Like, even if it's a 5, 10, 15% chance, you kind of do have to just go for it, because you're not going to be there all the time, right? So I really do hope that they're adding that pick in there for either Butler or George, because I feel like now's the time. I feel like now would be a really good time, a really good year to kind of put the chips in the middle and say, let's go, LeBron. Let's do this.
I agree. Let's talk some Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, God. Okay. Bojan?
Bojan Bogdanovic moves from Brooklyn to Washington. So the package was Bojan Bogdanovic, Chris McCullough, not Todd McCullough. Shout-outs to Todd McCullough.
Right.
True Winnipegger. For Andrew Nicholson, Marcus Thornton, and a 2017 first-round pick. So obviously the Brooklyn Nets getting a draft pick this year, as the Nets have theirs. And Washington looking to add a little bit more to their team, a little more shooting off the bench. Pretty logical deal for both sides.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this is almost exact replica of
the Lou Will,
exactly, the Lou Will Houston deal, right? And I bet you it was a very similar package that Washington had to offer for Lou Will. It sounded like there was a few teams willing to give up a first round pick for Lou Will, and all these teams that, not all these teams, but there's probably about four or five teams in each conference that are kind of gearing up for the playoffs right now, just looking for any help they can get, willing to deal their first round pick, which will probably be like in the back half, at least, probably in the like 20 and above. Yeah, good deal for both teams. The Nets are always looking for picks, right? And if they can get a first-round pick for a rotation player who's having a pretty decent year, like I just kind of checked out his Basketball Reference today.
Yeah, offensively,
for
he's...
the first time ever. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, when you can get a deal that works both ways, good for them. Sean Marks has really done a good job with this Nets team, and Brooke Lopez is still looming, right? Like, I doubt they're going to get two firsts, but if they can get another first... and maybe even a second for Brooke, then they've done a really, really good job for really having nothing in the cupboards to, like, making something out of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you've actually tried to lead the Nets to a championship on 2K.
It's tough, man. Yeah, oh, my goodness, it's tough.
I'm pretty sure that was the first time you were ever stumped on 2K, where, like, you got to, like, the conference finals or something, and you still couldn't win.
It just
couldn't
win. I drafted Dennis Smith, you know, he became a franchise player and everything, but, like, they really just had zero assets for so long.
Yeah, it took you, like, 5 years to actually get somewhere. Hey, did you know what was this past weekend?
What?
I don't know. There was this big party in New Orleans. Oh, it was Mardi Gras.
Oh, nice. You're Mardi. Funny. You're funny.
I'm a doll.
I actually thought we were going to go this whole pod without talking about it.
Yeah, well, we have only 5 minutes to talk about it. So, skills comp, Kristaps Porzingis taking it. Was that a pleasant surprise?
No, I really kind of wanted Isaiah Thomas in the finals, but Gordon Hayward, who's neither a big or a small, decided to squeeze by. That shot's everything, hey?
Oh, the three-point shot is the make or break.
It's everything, and the bigs take it again, and it sounds really sad, but I think that might have been one of the high points of the weekend.
I fully agree.
That was Zingard actually winning it out.
That was one of the high points, and I agree with you. The Hayward-Zinger final was actually really crisp. There were a couple of rounds before the final, before Hayward and Porzingis actually met up, that they were just chucking.
Some of the passes were bad. Jokic could not get it in. It was tough. But
the Zinger pull-up three to win it. Oh, that was cash.
Oh, it looks so good. Yeah. I love the big versus small thing. I hope they continue to do that. And the bigs, man, looking for the trifecta next year.
Absolutely. Three-point comp.
Oh, my. So sad. So sad.
Not a good shooting year.
Not at all. Like, across the board, we had, I think, two or three performances over 20.
Yeah, so Wes had an awful run. Swaggy P, at least he wasn't last.
Lowry couldn't break double digits.
Lowry, yeah. Kyrie, his jump shot was as flat as the earth was.
Oh, of course.
You saw all those jokes going.
Oh, man. I remember like writing a tweet, and I'm just like, there's no way that there's not hundreds of the same tweet going
on. I saw you
right
retweet
now.
Maybe 15 of them, and I was just like, this is... Yeah, the internet's collectively on a wave.
Of course, right? Everyone was waiting for it. Yeah, really disappointing, especially not having Clay in the finals.
He was 1 point short of making the finals.
Yeah, it's really too bad. But you know what? I kind of had this discussion with my family over the weekend saying that, like, All-Star Weekend is full of potential. Full of potential. And when it's actually, like... met, kind of like last year. Last year was one of the best.
One of the best by far.
When the potential is met, it's an incredible weekend. Tons to talk about, and it's really exciting to watch front to back.
When it's a throwaway year like this,
when it's a season like this, when it's a weekend like this, which really has nothing to do with anything but just the performances were lackluster, right?
Yeah.
That it really is tough to watch. So like Clay doesn't get into the finals. The finals is whatever. Right afterwards, they tried to raise the $500,000 for
Sigurd Strong.
For Sigurd Strong, which was awesome. I think that was actually, despite everyone missing shots, was one of the high points of the weekend, too.
That was easily one of the highest points of the All-Star weekend. Shouts to DJ Khaled banking in a three.
Yeah. He went one for four or something.
And
yeah.
Shouts to Steph for trying to hit a half-court shot. He had about eight or nine attempts, and you know, it's hard to make that shot in jeans.
Man, and he said, he's like, I got it in one. Here it is.
Yeah.
I thought for sure in three he would get it, but it was too bad.
Credits to him for putting himself out there because he was one of the most entertaining parts of the All-Star Weekend. In the game, he was self-deprecating. During the half-court shot, he put his ego on the line there. Like, he's truly a selfless dude, so props to Curry for actually doing that.
No doubt.
The performance, Khaled, Fat Joe, and I believe Remy performed all the way up. And the only point from this thing is that Khaled kept shouting out, Miami! Miami, and just like, and no, it was very, it was very fitting that he was nowhere near Miami, and the crowd even went quiet after he said Miami for the third time in a row, and was just kind of confused. Anyways, dunk competition, kind of underwhelming, almost nothing to talk about. Except,
what was your favorite dunk?
Aaron Gordon missing the drone. That was my favorite dunk, because the fact that he tried to open up with that and the Star Wars theme was going while the drone was flying down, that was my favorite part. The best dunk? Who, I don't know. Derrick Jones Jr. just got assigned to the D League today again. Him dunking over four people was... Yeah. There were no real standout dunks this year.
Him and Robinson did the exact same dunk over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. Derrick Jones Jr. dunking over people, and then Glenn Robinson dunking, and then grabbing it at his waist, and then putting it up.
Yeah, and my favorite dunk, which was probably the most different dunk out of all of them, was off the side of the backboard for Derrick Jones.
That was the best one. I agree.
Yeah, that was nasty. That pass from D-Book, that was nasty. Yeah, did you not expect the drone pass for him to catch it midair?
I thought that would have been way better, but after I saw he posted on Instagram what the actual dunk would be, and I was like, you know what, I would have given that a 50 anyways.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All-Star game, you know, there was some cool stuff here and there. We already spoke about the DeMarcus Cousins stuff that broke during the game, kind of. There were, you know, Steph Curry lying on the floor was pretty funny. Steph Curry and Isaiah Thomas dunking was pretty funny. But they need to incentivize this game. Make it like $1.5 million to the winning coaching staff and players.
I didn't watch this game front to back, but I watched like the 20-minute highlight thing in the morning.
That's probably much better.
It was great, yeah. And I kind of liked where they got to this year, where usually there's no defense. This year, they were actually inviting people to score. It was incredible. Like, they broke so many records, like, as far as, like, assists and threes and dunks and everything.
Anthony Davis played like Wilt Chamberlain. Like, he actually just caught everything at the rim and dunked it.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone was shooting within 4 or 5 seconds. There was just bomb after bomb from out of bounds to the other end of the key. But it was kind of entertaining at the same time. And mind you, I didn't watch the entire 2-hour production of this. So.
Yes, I'm sure it was a great 20-minute supercut.
Yeah, it was a great supercut.
The 2.5 hours I spent, I could have gone without it. Anyways, the West won 192-182. And with that said, we're pretty much out of here. We had a whole lot to talk about, and we have a little more to talk about with our buddy Adam.
Yeah, lots going on in Manitoba, as always.
Yeah.
That was quote-unquote Adam Wedlake. But actually, though, there's some really cool initiatives that happened this week, going on tonight as well. And then we got some home teams actually playing in the Final Four in Canada West this weekend. The Bisons out in UBC. The Westmanote.
Which was, it was an absolute joy to call the Bison season.
Yeah, no doubt.
So thank you to Bison Sports for having us.
Yeah, it was tons of fun. Both Westman teams playing tomorrow night as well. So we'll talk about that in this call with Mr. Adam Wedlake. We'll be back next week kind of talking about the Paul George trade and the Butler trade. No, I'm just kidding. They'll only be one of them.
Hey, come on.
Here's Adam Wedlake of Basketball Manitoba. We'll catch you next week. You sound like a wild animal.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Adam, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are things?
Things are good. We're actually live in studio for the first time in a long time.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys got took advantage of technology, then got lazy.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. We are lazy people. There's no getting around that.
Reading Week is glorious, and what a time to actually be live in studio. It's currently right now, so I typically have class at this moment, so it's great to be a free man.
For a bum like me, every week is Reading Week. So, so what's up, Adam?
Well, it's busy times, of course, with basketball, but heading into this weekend, there was a good... some outcomes from the Can-West playoffs. You guys were probably at some of that. Both the Westman and Bison men's basketball teams won their opening playoff series. Brandon University, unfortunately, did not. They went to 3 games and lost that deciding game. But both the Westman and Bison men's are still alive. Westman are on.
You sound like a wild animal.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
sorry, on Saturday. Locally, the Westman women, they had a week off the first opening weekend of the Canwest playoffs. They're hosting Victoria this weekend. They have, they as well start up tomorrow, Thursday, go Friday, and then if necessary, Saturday. That's at the Duckworth Center. The times of those games, again, you can head to our website for those times or the Canwest basketball website to see all that. So that's the big stuff that's happening sort of in the short term with March Madness just on our doorstep right now. Just switching topics a little bit, just with some different or sort of more special things that have happened the last 10 days or so. Neil, you know, the one of your fellow students at Red River ran her Girls Got Game basketball camp this past Monday on Louis Riel Day at Red River College. And it was the first time that's been offered. It was targeted to 10, 11, 12-year-old girls, most of them first time playing with basketball, playing the sport of basketball. And hats off to Christine Ahrens, who took that on as a project at Red River and had about 40 young girls out on the day. Like I said, majority of them had not played basketball before, and it was actually about 10 are actually just recent Syrian immigrants that are part of a new Canadian basketball new Canadian sport program, and they were able to get those young girls. Most of them had never played basketball before, and out on the court and give them a little taste of some basketball Canadian style. So that was really neat. And again, hats off to Christine for taking that initiative on. The other thing that happened this last weekend, which was a little unique with the holiday weekend, was the Boys and Girls Club of Winnipeg. This was their fifth year in hosting an open free tournament to a bunch of teams at the roughly about 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds this last weekend. And what peaked it off after the tournament was done, they put together a little all-star game with those, some of those young kids, and they got to play against the Winnipeg Police team, which is always good. The Boys and Girls Club does yeoman's work in keeping young kids active and involved in a positive environment. And to give them that chance to play and see the a police officer in a different setting, definitely was an opportunity to break down some barriers and use our sport of basketball to do that. So it was a neat weekend with that. And actually happening this evening is something that's also unique in a camp-oriented setting. The Black History Month people of Manitoba that are coordinating the a number of different activities tied to the recognition of Black History Month here in February is running a free youth basketball camp at Marion School this evening with Westman players from the University of Winnipeg Westman basketball teams being part of that. That's going on this evening. So a couple of unique things that are happening that are a little different than your normal just traditional games of basketball, using the sport of basketball in all three of those all three of those cases to break down some barriers and get more people active and involved and enjoying the sport.
That's an incredible way to use basketball to foster growth in the community, right? Like, it's all about bringing people together, and those initiatives are definitely helping. Like, NBA Cares does a lot of similar type of things around this time of year.
Yeah, it's been really good. Actually, when the NBA was here two times ago when the Pistons and Timberwolves were in town, this was probably about 4 years ago now, NBA Cares did a number of initiatives in the inner city area, actually involving some of the Boys and Girls Clubs as well. And yeah, it's amazing what you can do bringing, again, like you said, certain young people together and sort of all with the same intent and same goal of just enjoying the sport and sort of putting some of our differences aside and realizing that people really aren't that different. They all have the same interests and desires to be active and enjoy something that we all have in common. And if we can use the sport of basketball to break down some of those barriers, especially was neat with some of those Syrian girls who I think that's, they definitely just open the newspaper and you can see the stories, of course, that are every day there's stories coming out of that region of negativity. And you can only imagine what some of these young girls have gone through and even in a good situation, a lot of times in those communities, from where they originated, girls in sport is definitely not a priority. And if there is sport happening in a certain country like that, it's typically male oriented or dominated, and girls really just sometimes some places, if you read some stories, In some countries, women or girls aren't even allowed to be present in to see a sporting event, let alone participate in it. And it was really neat to see some of these smiley faces of these young girls who can only imagine what some of the stuff they've seen and gone through to finally become new Canadians. But then put a basketball in their hand and give them that a nice warm welcome Canadian experience is always special.
Without a doubt. Christine worked so hard on that, and by all accounts, it sounded like it was a really successful day. A lot of uplifting news going on.
Good stuff happening. Yeah, always good stuff happening. And like I said, we're just right on the cusp of March Madness, so next week we'll have we're heading into that time of year that we all love from all levels of basketball, right from the NBA just hitting their stride and hitting the playoffs, and of course the NCAA March Madness will be starting up and we're getting going in about 10 days. And then locally here, there's most school teams and even club teams are switching into playoff mode, and that just makes these games that much more enjoyable. And it's the time of year that we love to be alive with the sport of basketball. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, no doubt. Are we going to have another basketball Manitoba pool for March Madness?
Of course. We'll talk about that probably next week. We've done that for probably, I think it's almost 10 years now, where we open it up and usually have 400 or 500 people part of that. We don't charge. It's just for the enjoyment. We have some prizes we put up, but it's the biggest March Madness pool, we like to say, in Canada. Nobody's disputed me on saying otherwise, so I'll go with, go with that until somebody says otherwise. But it's fun. It just makes an enjoyable, fun 3 weeks of ball even more exciting. And it's the one time of year, I think that's what... As much as I'll still throw some criticisms towards the NCAA with some of their rules that they play under, and it seems a little archaic compared to, say, what the NBA uses or even what our FIBA basketball rules play under. But hats off to that system of the most insane tournament of seeing 64-plus teams all play in a single-game knockout over 3 weeks. It doesn't get more exciting than that. And there's always a school or two that you've never heard of that becomes we're always looking for those Cinderella teams that right now we probably never heard of that team, but in 3 weeks we'll all of a sudden be very well known of the fighting armpits of Southern Chattanooga or wherever. You've never heard of these schools, but they eventually will become like, wow, they were, what a team. Look at how far they got it, the 16s or the 8s or whatever. So,
No doubt.
Fun time for the game.
It's an exciting part of time of year for basketball, and yeah, good luck to all the local teams going at it in the Final Four for Canada West this weekend. Thanks for stopping by again, Adam, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Take care, Adam.
You too. Take care.